Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. You can be seated. Thank you. Thank you. I see you. I see you, Aaron. I see you. Yeah, you do anything to get the classes late. You do anything just to get the classes late. Not that I was ever there. Of course, what a joy. Thank you so much. Thank you, Tyler. Thank you, sir. You're a grandstand. You're your own hero. But thank you so much. It's a joy to be here. Such a joy. My heart is just filled with delight. I was here a couple of years ago for Chet. Been several times since I graduated in 19, none of your business. But I remember, Brother Folke, I don't know if you remember this, but a couple of years ago, I was so sick. I didn't want to tell Brother Wilkerson. I was afraid he was going to tell me to stay in my hotel and I would have to cry and be a sourpuss, you know. But I was sick as a dog, and it was bad. My dear wife, she was putting up with me, and Brother Wilkerson said, you're okay. I'm fine, you know. But I'm not sick. I don't have a sore throat. I didn't just wake up. This is the way it is. And all through the years of our boys being in the college, when we'd come and visit, I'd see some of their friends, you know, I'd say hi and meet some of their friends, and they'd say, hey, Brother Barnes, how you doing? I was like, what is wrong with this guy, you know? And you know, a bunch of she bears is going to come after you one of these days. But anyway, it really is. I just can't find the right words to tell you what a joy and delight it is to be here. I say this, probably some of you that do know us, you've heard me say this before. I hope when you get to my age that you have the privilege to see many of your friends that you sat in these seats with still faithfully serving the Lord like I get to do. And listen, I'm telling you something. I'm sure it's just about almost every week. Many times I'll send a picture, Brother Wilkerson, and just last Sunday, a pastor that we had the privilege to send out of our church when I was pastoring, and he started a church, and here he was doing discipleship with about a dozen of their new converts and new people in their church. And almost every week, I have the privilege to see our graduates. I send pictures many times to Brother Ray, you know, and this coming Sunday I will be with Brother Tim Kirchhoff, a dear friend, doing a great job in Virginia, Green Valley Baptist Church. Many of you know the Kirchhoffs. And staff and faculty, I want to thank you for your faithfulness. And we won't know till we get to heaven. You're clipping coupons, as Brother Howes used to hear us say so often. Brother Stalnaker, you're clipping coupons for your faithfulness. Thank you for staying in the trenches. And sometimes we get a few knuckleheads along the way, but I was one of them too, amen. But by the grace of God, staff and faculty, thank you. Brother Fish, good to see you up there, sir. Thank you. We can go on and on. Joe Pete, a dear friend of mine. Thank you, men and ladies, for your faithfulness here. And my heart is just filled beyond words to tell you how honored I am to be here. It's encouraging to me to see the college going forward by faith and with the power of the Holy Spirit. And young people, you're at a great time. You're at a great place for such a time as this. And I'm glad, really super glad to be here. Pastor wanted me to take a couple minutes and just tell you about our, and this is really why he had me come in, and I think you felt sorry for me, so I'll let you preach chapel too. But we have a gospel initiative that we are launching in New England. I said this in church last night. I know many of you are working jobs, but 15.5 million people, 5.5 million homes in the 6 New England states. And God's put it in our hearts. I've been in evangelism now for almost 3 years. Put it in our hearts to get the churches, independent fundamental Baptist churches, you know. It's sad that people joke about this because it's really not a joke, but I think it's very clear in the Bible that the Apostle Paul understood the importance of teamwork, and I think if you're a student of the Bible, you'd agree with that. And but it's a shame that it's a joke that actually churches working together for the cause of Christ, you know. And it's not a novelty. It's in the Bible. And we have an incredible team spirit in New England. It's a God thing. It's not something that a man or a particular church or ministry birthed. It's a God thing. It's a Holy Spirit thing. And so we're launching it. How many of you men, how many of you young men got one of the brochures? How many of you got one of those? Raise your hand, okay. Did we have enough? Do we still have some in the back? I don't know who helped us with that. And if you didn't get one, young men, if you didn't get one, please get one. Who has them in the back? I see somebody back there. Brother Aaron, you do? Okay, excellent. And see Brother Aaron Carlson. If you'll see him, he'll give you one of those. If there's extras, girls, you can take one of those and pray for us as well. This is a program exclusively for young men in the colleges of America, Bible Colleges of America, to come and do an eight-week summer evangelism internship for 8 weeks. You'd go to one church and you would go soul winning. Now think about this. I did this one summer. I was at another Bible college before I came to Hiles Anderson College. And one of my dear friends, Gil Tartaglino, he and I one summer, we made it a goal. We said, we're going to try to go soul winning every single day. He worked midnights. He worked at a nursing home. And I forget what my job was, but we said, we'll make it a goal to go soul winning every single day during the summer. And I don't know how many men will have ever experienced the privilege to go soul winning just about almost every single day. You'd still be able to serve in that church that you'd be at on Sundays, serve in their ministries, just like you do here, just like you do in your home church. And I'm not going to take a lot of time on it now. We want to get to the message in a moment. But the first thing I'd ask you is please, especially young men, please pray about that. You would have to have two high recommendations, one from your home church pastor, and one from the college, of course. And we've got, the Lord has given us the financial wherewithal to bring in about at least 20 young men this coming next summer to come in. And we would, and I can tell you more about it. My phone number's on, the information's on there. But I appreciate Brother Wilkerson saying, I want you to come and I want you to cast the burden and vision to the young men, for you young men to pray about that. For some of you, you go home and work your jobs. Some of you travel to music groups. Some of you have different ministries, things that you do. But I want to ask the young men to pray about that. Pray about it. That's not a trick question, you know, trick to pray about it, like so that you hopefully you'll do what I want. No, we want you to do God's will. But you pray about that, and it'd be great. I'd love to see some young men come from Hiles Anderson College. We're going to go to other colleges around the country. And as colleges, we already have several that have embraced this wholeheartedly. Now, I want you to think about this. What if colleges, just think about this thought, what if Jesus tarries is coming, and what if colleges implemented an evangelism summer program and young men went to churches all over America? Look, it's not just about New England. Are y'all with me? It's about the gospel getting to the world. And if you could, I saw this in other countries. I've been to other countries and I've seen it, where the college students, they go soul winning all summer long. Not everybody can do that. But if you can be a part of that, I believe it's something you will never forget the rest of your life. And then maybe God in his grace will give you a burden for New England. May not call you there, but you may have a burden. Maybe you already do have a burden. And that's where it all started in our country. And that, like probably the West Coast, probably the hardest per se areas. And it's like that almost anywhere in different pockets. But we're just excited to see what the Lord's going to do. So please pray for us about this. If you have any questions, you can let me know. And I'd be glad to give you some more information. Would you stand with me, please? Let's open our Bibles. Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. I'm going to intertwine this idea and then give you something practical that the Lord put in my heart. About 2 months ago, I prepared a message along these lines, and I'm going to share that with you and then make it palatable, make it applicable to you in college. I'm so excited for you. I loved thinking about sitting in these seats in chapel, and it was a high hour for me, and sat in the front row as much as I could, and had my amen in my pocket, amen, but more so from my heart, and I just couldn't wait to hear the preaching of God's word, and I couldn't wait to get truth that helped me to be faithful to the Lord and learn and go forward for Christ. So I'm really happy for you. Genesis 37, and we're going to read a couple of verses, a very familiar story to probably every one of us. I've never been a big fan of favorites. What's your favorite this? I've never been a real big fan of that because I have a lot of favorites for everything. It's kind of like ice cream or chocolate or you name it, you know, it's all good, amen. But if, sorry, I distracted you with something carnal, but if I had a favorite Bible character aside from my sweet Savior Jesus Christ, it'd be Joseph in the Old Testament. And what a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a beautiful example. And Genesis chapter 37, I know it's very familiar to you, but can I encourage you to lock in? I know what the Lord's put on my heart. I know that. So you pray for me and I'll pray for you. And hopefully we'll take a truth that'll help us. And at this very hour, Genesis 37. And the Bible says in verse 3, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And I know you know the verse. Verse 5, the Bible says, and Joseph dreamed a dream. And he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. Verse 8, and his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Verse 9, and he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. I'm going to say a quick word, then we're going to pray, then you can be seated. Thank you for your patience. I mentioned already about 2 months ago or so. And by the way, there's just nothing like the Bible. You know, it's inexhaustible. You read and study. I think of Brother Judson Mitchell, one of my heroes, Brother Jack's dad, and I heard him preach on Joseph. I enjoy, you probably remember so many times. He probably used a lot of dad illustrations to you when you was a boy of the father-son relationship, Joseph. And what a study. And it was a couple months ago, the Lord gave me a message about dreaming yet another dream. Now, I'm going to explain this to you in the message. We need to be sure that we're understanding the Bible. There's no extra biblical revelation. How many of y'all with me so far? Okay, there's no taking this out of context, or we shouldn't. But I do believe with all my heart that God is still looking for dreamers today. And so the message I've preached probably at least a handful of times in the last couple months is dream yet another dream. But here's what I want to talk to you about, college student. You can't dream another dream until you dream a dream. Now, that sounds weird and duh, light bulb, you know, but you can't dream another dream until you dream a dream. And I'll explain it to you when we go through the message. Let's pray together. Father, we love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Thank you. It's all about you. Thank you that we get to adore you today. We get to love you. We get to honor you. We get to please you. And thank you that all you've done for us and all you're doing. And here we get to serve you for such a time as this. Lord, I pray you bless this great college, Lord. This is like a home. It's home to me. One of my best friends on planet Earth is standing behind me. He's been more of an encouragement to me than he'll ever know, except when he gets to heaven. What an encourager. What a friend. And Lord, we've not come, Lord, to just talk. We've come to let the Holy Spirit speak to us as we open the Word of God. So I pray you bless these students, Lord. Give them what you want them to have. Help me, Lord, guide my lips. May I be filled with thy Spirit, and may each that are here desire the same. And we love you and praise you, and thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I think it's very important to explain, lest anybody get nervous, for example, about this idea of being a dreamer and an Old Testament dreamer. Do we do it the same as Joseph? And no, I don't believe that we do. I believe the Bible says, you know it, 1 Corinthians, the Bible says, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. And we've got the complete canon right here. How many of you are glad about that? We've got the complete canon of God's word. And by the way, can I just say to you, I settled that matter when I was a teenager before I even came to Hiles Anderson College. Don't read books and get all interested in some kind of deeper nonsense about this simplicity of this issue of faith and believing the same God who gave us salvation can very easily and capably preserve his word for us. Are y'all with me? And so I thank God we have the complete canon right here of God's word. I thank the Lord for that. And so what does that mean as New Testament believers to be a dreamer? How do we apply that today? What does that mean to be a dreamer? And I want to give you this message. And then again, like I said, I want to make it applicable to you this morning. There's no doubt about it that a New Testament dreamer is somebody that must be consumed with the Word of God. It must be backed with Scripture. You know, at my age, I see a lot of this, and I hope I've never been guilty. I probably have, but if we're not careful, sometimes we'll find a verse to try to fit our narrative. Y'all know what I'm saying? You know, it's like we try to find a verse to support what we want to do. No, what you believe and what you do needs to be clearly backed by the Word of God. So guess what? If you're going to be a dreamer, a New Testament dreamer, you got to listen, even while you're here at Howells Anderson College, yes, with all the classroom assignments, you have got to be somebody that's consumed with the book every single day. Listen to me now, every single day. And you've got to want it. You've got to want it more than anything. Job said, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. More than you need to feed your gut this afternoon, especially young men, listen to me. You need to hunger for the Word of God. And believe me when I tell you, you read it and study it every day, and there's something, it's brand new, it's fresh, it's sweet. You don't have to knock your socks off, but the reality is there's nothing like the Word of God. And if you're going to be a real dreamer, you got to be somebody that absolutely is consumed with the Word of God. You know, it should be that sometimes when you're in conversation, and I'm not being sarcastic here, the Word of God should come to your mind and many times come out of your mouth. Is it possible for Scripture, and I'm not trying to sound weird, but for the Word of God, for Scripture to come to your mind, and my friends will think I'm weird. Look, I don't know where you're getting that from. People need to know that you are consumed. You don't have to quote the whole Bible to everybody. We don't need a disclaimer here, right? Are you with me? But it should be that the Word of God comes to your mind and you speak about the Word of God. Won't be as challenging then when you're trying to invite some coworkers to come to this special day and they're even wondering if you're even a Christian. They ought to know that. Not that you've got to preach at them every lunch break or something like that. But I'm just saying to you, if we're going to be a real, and by the way, everything about Joseph's dream, everything about it came from God. Watch this. This is where you get what comes from God. Right here. Say, but Barnes, you're at Howells Anderson College. Don't you know that we read the Bible? Oh, I know. I was a student as well. I know how busy we get. We're busy. You're working several jobs. Sometimes you don't even know if you're still in chapel right now. Some of you are trying to keep your eyes open by the grace of God. Amen. You know, you're tired. I get it. Been there, done it. Bought and sold a couple t-shirts. Amen. I've been there. But I'm telling you something. If we're going to have real dreamers, we've got to have people that are consumed with the book. Listen, not with books, but with the book. Read books. I just gave Preacher a book that had a great impact on my life in considering this idea of getting the gospel to every home. There was a missionary in Japan in the early 1900s. His name was Charles Kalman. Charles Kalman in 1905 committed himself to getting the gospel to every single home in all of Japan in 5 years. It absolutely took his life. The burden and the responsibility, the weight that God put on him. And I love to read books. By the way, you ought to be a reader, yes. But let me tell you something. Not just books and certainly not just games, but the book. If you're going to be a dreamer, you got to be in the book. It's backed by Scripture. Number two, I would say to you that a dreamer and one that has another dream, it must be bathed in supplication. Much prayer. I was thinking, and I've shared this illustration hundreds of times over the last 30 plus years. I was living in Men's Rice One. Before cell phones, you didn't know there was such a day, but there was. I was living on Men's Rice One, and I got a phone call from my mom. I carry this in my Bible, and again, hundreds and hundreds of times I've told this story. In July of 1989, we were in the midst of youth conference. We were all 100 miles an hour, just running and gunning, and I got a phone call from my mom. My biggest prayer burden was my mom's salvation. My mom wasn't saved. Many times as a teenager, I dare say almost every single time during the invitation, as a teenager, when the invitation time came, it doesn't matter. Not that it didn't matter what the preacher said, but no matter what the preacher preached about, I was at the altar and I was praying for my mom to be saved. Many times I stayed at that altar and just wept. Oh, there's only a few of you in this room that would know what it's like to have a parent that's lost and needs to be saved. It was a huge burden. I'd like to have died sometimes for my mom's salvation. My mom and I were so, so close. And I prayed and continued to pray in my college days for my mom's salvation. It was July of 1989 where she took out a tithe envelope. She went to a revival service in Aston, Pennsylvania. This is the tithe envelope. She wrote a note to my sister. She said, "I want to be saved tonight. What do I do?" My sister said, "I'll go forward with you during the invitation. And Mrs. Piper will probably lead you through the scriptures. Don't be nervous. Satan will make your feet like cement and your hands glued to the pew." That night, my mom walked the aisle and trusted Christ and got saved. She called me before cell phones. And remember the long cord on the phones? How many of you staff members remember those days? They were in the dormitory phones, you know. And my mom called and she said, "John, you got a minute?" I said, "Yes, Mom." I said, "But you got $5 I can borrow?" No, I didn't say that. But I said, "Yeah, Mom." She told me what she did. She went to that service. She got saved. I said, "Hold on, Mom. I'll be right back." And I went to one of two places that I spent a lot of time at. It's the stairwell in the back of Men's Race 1 where I knelt many, many times under that stairwell and prayed for my mom's salvation. I said, "Mom, I'll be right back." I don't know how long she waited on that phone. But I went to that place and I said, "God, thank you." Amen. Let me tell you something, young people. If your dreaming is something down the road, you're missing the right now. The right now. There's a mom, there's a dad, there's an aunt, an uncle, there's a relative, there's a coworker, there's somebody on that bus route. I'm not asking Hiles Anderson College to dream another dream. I'm asking you students to dream a dream of not something down the road, but of something right now in your life, in your ministry. There's too much at stake. Let me tell you something. Hiles Anderson College is not a stepping stone to another ministry. This is not a stepping stone. Oh, God in his grace, you may live long enough. Jesus may tarry his coming. You may be out in the ministry somewhere one day. But let me tell you right now, you are living in the here and now. I'm not asking you this morning to dream another dream. I'm asking you to dream a dream. And that is bathe in supplication. And the older I get, the less personal illustrations I care to use. And I'm sorry I'm using a few here. And it is all the grace and goodness of God. Are you listening to me? Some of you, the young people here have been a part of New England Baptist Teen Camp. We didn't say anything to anybody for a year. I did nothing but pray about that. I almost feel bad that we waited a year. I just prayed about it. I talked to one of my pastor friends, and then he said, "Why don't you get some of your friends and share your burden and your vision?" I prayed about that. Prayed about it. And then in 2012, we started, it's just 1 week. It's just 1 week every summer, just 1 week. But our God has been faithful and our God has blessed it. Same thing with the New England Gospel Initiative. I didn't talk to anybody about it for a long time. The only thing I said to my friends was, "Please pray for me. I don't know what." And look, I'm not looking for something weird. I just want to be faithful to God. I'm not looking for some kind of weird something nobody's ever done before. You know, getting the gospel to the world is not something nobody's ever done before. It's what Jesus told every one of us to do. We didn't tell anybody. Finally, after about at least 6 months, and there's not about a time frame, I had the courage to talk to my wife. I said, "Sweetheart, I need to talk to you about something. I don't understand what God's doing in my heart. I don't understand it." Listen, Kaushu, what I'm saying to you is now is your time. Can I say it this simply? Take seriously your walk with God right now. Take it. Look, there is no person in this room, nobody, likes to have fun more than I do. Nobody. I'll run a race with you around the parking lot after chapel, amen? There is nobody, bring it, amen? There is nobody likes to have fun. If any of you that know me know that's true. Listen, nobody in this room likes that. But let me tell you something. Reality is life is not a game. Life is not a game. Take seriously your dream. Hey, what are you dreaming for your bus route? I meant to bring my old Bible from my college days, and I had taped in the front of my Bible a map of my bus route. That was my Jerusalem. That was my world. Look, I was all in. Tonight, I get to spend some time with some people that I love that I had the privilege on our bus have on our bus route 30-plus years ago. I'm like a little kid in the candy store. I'm glad to be in chapel, but I'm looking forward to tonight. I need some of that rice, amen. Come on, bring it on, amen. But hey, listen, I'm looking forward to just visiting with some people and loving some people that we had the privilege to be a part of their lives 30-plus years ago when we ran the buses in Chicago. But you know what it is? You know what to me? Hey, I knew. Look, I knew. I knew one day God was going to have me pastor. I knew it. Knew it as sure as I was breathing. But I didn't dream when I sat in these seats about what I was going to do one day. I dreamed about what I was doing right now. It must be backed by Scripture. It must be bathed in supplication, and it must be birthed by the Spirit. If you're taking notes, you can just put down Acts chapter 13. I love this thought. I love it. There's no doubt about it. It is the work of the Holy Spirit of God to lead every one of us into what He wants us to do in and through the church. I absolutely love it. It's not a man or somebody that decides. When I pastored, many times if we were enlisting a Sunday school teacher or somebody in our church, I always said, listen, I believe this is God's will, but you have to pray about it. You have to get the leading of the Holy Spirit. And this is the time, listen to me, every one of you college students, this is the time for you to get serious about the Holy Spirit controlling your life. Right now. Well, when I get out there one day, look, I'm not trying to dash your dreams, but I'm going to tell you, forget about that right now. Because I'm sorry to tell you, the reality is many don't even get there. I wish that wasn't true, but that's the reality. But you can get there. And the way you do is because you realize I need to be a dreamer right now. I need to have a consummation of Christ and His will for my life and His work for my life and His wisdom in my life. I need it right now. This is time for you to stay serious about your relationship with the one that saved you. Be a dreamer. I'm not being unkind to you, but you're not ready yet for another dream. Now, I understand in the context, this happened boom, boom in Joseph's life. You can critique me on that later. But in a journey of life, I'm not being unkind. You're not ready for another dream yet. But there's some of us sitting in this room that God's given us another dream. We're not doing that which we thought we would do. But God in His grace gives another dream. I thought about this week. On Monday, I drove about 2 hours up to Maine. There's a dear friend of mine. He's a godly deacon in a church, been there 30-plus years. He found out just recently that he has brain cancer. And I drove up there and picked him up at his house, and we went to the state park and walked for about 2 miles in the rain, just talking about the goodness of God. See, that's the big leagues. And I'm on the phone on the way here with a young pastor who's being told by the leadership in the church, here's your resignation letter. We wrote it for you. I'm not belittling you. Listen, your burden is just as big to you as these men there are to them. But I got some good news for you. You listen, live in dreamland of right now. Unless you're a senior trying to figure out where to go, Lord willing, next summer, you ought to be all in what God's called you to do right here, right now. All in. But one day, look, and again, I'm not Captain Stick in the Mud, okay? I've got 4 sons. They all came here, met their wives here. They're serving the Lord. They're praying. 2 of them are praying about ministry opportunity going forward. I'm all in. I get it. But I hope and pray that you're living in the dream world of right now. Listen to me. There's too much at stake. There's too much at stake. And let me tell you this. If you don't get it now, guess what's going to happen when you get in there? If you permeate that mindset and that heartbeat in your life now, when you get in the ministry one day, you're going to find you're not satisfied there either. Did you hear what I just said? That might have went in one ear and out the other. God will change your life if you haven't already, you come to the place where you say, yeah, I got a lot of dreams down the road one day, but I'm a dreamer right here and right now. This is my time. I remember one time. Did you ever get impressed when a preacher closes his Bible, but he doesn't really close? It still takes another half hour. I'm trying to land the plane. But Brother Joe, I remember one time I was sitting in chapel. And I always did everything I could to pay attention. But that day, I just was absolutely just tore out of the frame. I was thinking about Brother Joe, too, a brother and sister on Brother Chris Hale's bus route in our division that were going to court that day, testify against their father that had been beating them. And I just sat in chapel and I just cried. I don't remember what the message was that day, but I couldn't help it. These weren't even kids on my bus route. Bus route next to us. I couldn't help but think about they were going to have to look at their dad in that courtroom, say that man's been beating us. And it just tore me up. You know what that is? That's the here and now. What's your here and now? See, that's why you need to get a ministry that you give your heart to. You need to give yourself to others except for yourself. I think we still have plenty of ministries around here to give you opportunity to do that. It's not about you building somebody else's empire. It's about you dreaming a dream. You can't dream another dream until you dream a dream. And this is your time. My time came and it went. And I've lived long enough now where God has said, no, that's not it, John. I drove in a car with Brother Wilkerson for several hours. I went on a trip with him. I happened to be, I don't even know why I was here. He was going up to where I think the City Baptist kids were having camp. And I talked to him. I was nervous to talk to him because I didn't really understand. I absolutely love pastoring, and I miss it. I miss it more than I could tell you. Didn't understand what God was doing in my heart. Didn't understand it. But he was so gracious, like others were, and just prayed for me and encouraged me. It all comes back to the same thing. It's got to come back to the scriptures. Got to bathe it in much prayer. See, the decisions you're making right now, you better bathe it in much prayer. I can tell you many times I'm on a phone praying with preachers or different people. That's weird. It's through a phone. No, it's not. We're talking to our Heavenly Father. I wouldn't rather do anything else. Just talk and gab or what? No, how about talk to God? Then you've got to be sensitive. You got to let the Holy Spirit have full control. Be a dreamer. And then one day, God may allow you to be another dreamer. Let's stand together, please. Who wants to be a dreamer? For now. There were times when I sat in these pews and I said, God, please forgive me. I've become cold and callous. I got more consumed with myself and I had to ask God to forgive me. We have a gracious God. He loves you, young people. Fall back in His arms. Tell Him you love Him. Get a renewed vision and burden and dream for that bus route. For your family members that need to be saved. God bless you.